Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, who would make an AFL WA State of Origin team? Are we reading too much into Ross's fish and chip lunch? Can West Coast break the SCG hoodoo? And what to make of Buck's comments on Mick Malthouse?
That was out of bounds!
I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now!
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is!
The stadium holds its breath!
It's Duff and Quarters!
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everyone. Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We're into tipping mode. We're brought to you by Tab Touch. I have with me in the studio Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I'm a bit confused about Quarters today because, to the best of my knowledge, he's a Victorian living in Western Australia. And yet he's getting awfully excited about Queensland winning the first State of Origin Rugby League.
Being a Victorian makes me, by default, a Queensland supporter because we just can't barrack for New South Wales.
So you're a hater.
They call us Mexicans. New South Welshmen call us Mexicans.
What
Victorians.
Do you call them?
I can't tell you. I can't say that. I have some good friends from New South Wales, I should say that. But look, well, I think it was the game they had to win, actually. It was a really good game. Ponga is some talent. Great effort by Queensland, given that they've lost probably 70% of their side, you know, a couple of hundred games of Origins walked out the door. But I think they had to win that because it was at Suncorp and probably, well, you'd assume New South Wales a bit more experienced. Win game three and game two here, maybe a bit more like the New South Wales home ground. So that was a game they had to win. It was a good game.
I reckon the Queenslanders have good support in Perth.
I think there'll be
a lot of people like you who will.
Yeah, and there'll be plenty of New South Wales support here too.
Yeah. Hopefully we get about 10,000 from each state flying in and spending money at our hotels and in our bars and restaurants.
It's a strange thing, you know, Origin, because obviously it was an Aussie rules invention. It was a West Australian invention.
Correct. And, Leon Larkin.
Yeah, and then it was morphed into what was happening was the cashed-up New South Wales clubs via the poker machines were luring all the Queensland players across the border, and they were representing New South Wales in representative games against Queensland and smashing. So New South Wales was smashing Queensland with half the side being Queenslanders. So they got a bit annoyed with that, and so Origin was born. And look what it's become. It's funny how the Australian rules introduced the concept, and they've really made a great showpiece of it. It's an outstanding event, and you know it actually. It's their number one event.
We could have...
Ahead of the premiership.
And they're bigger than Test.
Yep.
State of Origin is bigger than Test.
Yep.
We could have done the same thing here. And really, the AFL, the coaches, killed it. And once the punters stopped believing in it, the players stopped believing in it.
But I don't think they could really recapture that. It's been too long. I'm just not sure how, when there's that pretty fierce rivalry among AFL clubs... I'm just not sure if they could. I'd love them to. I think it would be a great thing to have a representative side from WA, South Australia, Western Australia and other territories and states. I think it would be a great thing, but I'm just not sure if it's possible.
Goal to goal line of a West Australian State of Origin team right now.
Oh, geez.
Jeremy McGovern.
Yep.
You'd have to find another key defender from somewhere, which might be challenging, but...
Pierce is not from here, is he?
Pierce is from Tasmania. Yeah. But Jeremy McGovern is one of them. Obviously, in a normal year, Alex Rance would be the other one.
Well, let's put him there. Let's discount injuries.
Take your pick of centre man between Paddy Cripps, Nathan Fife, Jaeger O'Meara.
Well, I'm having one as a centre man and I'm having the others as your on ballers. Because they're all getting in. Tommy Mitchell. Now
Tom Mitchell is technically West Australian for State of Origin.
He slots in there, if not in the bench. I think it's a big call, but you'd probably have Cripps and Fife. He'd probably be ahead of O'Meara, but I think Cripps and Fife would be ahead of him.
Bradley Hill on the wing.
Oh, yeah. Stephen Hill.
Get very excited now, folks. The power forwards.
Buddy.
Oh, the other one in the middle, of course, is Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
And probably Mitch Duncan on a wing, for that matter. Lance Franklin is one power forward.
Oh.
Josh Kennedy is a second power forward. If you want a third,
JD, Jack Darling.
Oh. pretty good team.
Oh, yeah, I think it's knocking off the Vicks. Knocking off my boys, I think, at the moment.
And, of course, in a couple of weeks' time, you can claim Nick Natanui as your number one ruckman.
So, and this is why Braden Quatermain did this excellent, and you did this excellent series last year, I think you're involved, in the State of Origin, who would win. And we were copped some criticism because, of course, you're going to say West Australian won. But we actually ran the stats to past champion data who came up with the formula. And they had WA
winning. With the condition WA must win.
Well, no. The thing is, you look at that and it's easy to see why they would win. Yeah. So,
and look, my argument about State of Origin is that I think it's a massive missed opportunity for footy because we often complain, and I'm sure the same is in South Australia, you know, the grand final's always at the MCG. You know, for a long time there were inherent home ground advantages built into final series at the MCG. You could play a State of Origin series like we used to, where pretty much every game was played outside of Victoria, and it could be our piece of the cake.
Can you imagine at Optus Stadium? And if people really bought into it, WA versus the Vicks, or South Australia for that matter, but probably the Vicks, let's put them ahead of the queue.
Yep.
At Optus Stadium at capacity, gee, it would be a great spectacle, wouldn't it? And I'm sure the AFL is spewing that it's not around because it's another cash cow.
Absolutely. And you know, like, why not shorten this? We've had talk about, you know, shortening the season to an 18-game season. Why not shorten the season to 18 games and set aside a month where, you know, two-week build-up, two-week cool-down?
I reckon you'd have to, if it was to work, it would have to be a build-up over a 12-month period or whatever, because I think you'd have to reintroduce the concept and build some rivalry. I mean, who is there now? Where's the EJ Wittens of the world? And the Knuckles Curlies of the world. That's what you need.
Well,
someone,
plenty of knuckleheads in the
media. Yeah, but I mean someone who really cares about the concept.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Mel Brown, Teddy Whitten, Neil Curley, they all used to whip it up, didn't they?
Yeah.
They're all good mates, but they all used to pretend they hated each other in State of Origin week.
EJ, we used to have I used to live in Geelong. I was in Geelong for 8 years, and we had an annual windsock club. Which lunch. So we used to stand under the windsock at Cadinia Park and we'd go to the pub afterwards and we'd have a nice little warm-up breakfast where we'd have a few champagnes and beers. And EJ, who was calling for 3GL, the Geelong radio station at the time, would make a special appearance at our breakfast every year before he did the call.
Yep.
And he would absolutely, knowing the theatre of the moment, he would wind himself up, he'd go red-faced and we'd just be spurring him on and Teddy would be getting into it and then he'd go in his 3GL box, we'd stand on the outer under the windsock and watch whoever Geelong was playing and then after the game we'd walk across the ground to go to Clatworthy's Hotel and we'd get in the middle and Teddy would be giving his match summary from the 3GL commentary box and we'd be going, Teddy, you know, giving him the messiah and he'd be leaning out of the box going, good on you boys. Good old EJ.
Remember the old Waverley where some of the radio boxes were up the back of the press box. So you could actually hear what the radio commentators were saying as you're sitting in the press box.
Yep, I do.
I remember sitting right in front of Teddy one time game at Waverley, typical game at Waverley. The wind was just whipping down the ground. And I think it was Chris Grant was lining up for a shot on goal. And he says, Chris Grant lining up. He's 40 metres out. He's got a 35-mile-an-hour wind straight up his clacker.
I'll tell you what, they used to have their commentary boxes in the middle of the crowd too. There were a couple of little booths there. I think the cricketers used to sit in them when they played World Series cricket.
Yep.
And as a kid, Teddy was calling the footy from this box. And as a kid, I was standing right beside it and I saw a little mic attached to the box, which was obviously to capture the crowd noise.
The
and I've
mic.
Gone right up to the effects mic and go Hawks. And he has come out of the box, given me the greatest spray in history. He's red-faced and, oh, I put the fear of God into me. I'll tell you, I would have been about 8 or 9.
You do that again, I'll shake your hand.
Pretty well, yeah. And he did shake my hand a couple of times, and it's still sore.
Oh, he had the world's greatest and most fearsome handshake, didn't EJ Whitten?
What a character.
Let's, and gone all too soon as well. Obviously, I think about 62 years old when cancer, which started in his prostate.
Yep.
Claimed him. So if you're a bloke in your 50s, do what we're all doing and get your blood tests. And
pretty simple blood test.
And get your regular checks. Okay, quarters, let's move on. Round 12 of AFL action. It's the first of the bye rounds. And a big game coming up on Friday night at the MCG.
Richmond 6th v Geelong 1st. And Geelong, really firming, I think. We're all starting to believe, in brackets, sort of, that they can win the flag. You've got to give them a chance, a good shake, because if you just look at the quality of the midfield, the way the forward line's playing and their defence. And they're going to go in with every chance in this game. I'm going to pick the Tigers. They don't lose two in a row very often. They don't lose at the MCG very often. I think we've established that Marvel Stadium is not for the Tigers. But I have faith in them still. They've won the last three against Geelong after losing 20 of 21, which dated back 15, 16 years. So they had the wood on them, Geelong. I think it was that qualifying final where they came over the top of them to break those shackles. But, yeah, they've won their last three. I think look out for Trent Cotchin in this game. It was his first game back last week. Their midfield got out-muscled, and it was a bit unlike Richmond last week.
No Kane Lambert.
Yeah, a very important player. Yeah, very important player. But I think I have faith, and this is a star cast at Geelong. Great midfield, humming along beautifully. Little Gaz is back too this week from that forward 50. But look,
Gary, don't hit anyone this week.
I'm going to regret this, but I'm sure. But I'm going to pick Richmond by about three goals. I reckon they'll win this.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Cats, and I accept the logic of everything you've said, and I agree with you absolutely that Richmond's method does not survive the trip up the road to Marvel Stadium, but its method is very strong at the MCG. The surge mentality, the ability to keep the ball going forward at all costs, that will test Geelong. I just wonder whether Richmond's absences are going to start to bite them a little bit. And I still think Richmond will finish probably top six.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether the absences will cost them enough games that they don't quite get to the top four. And, that will cost them a really serious tilt.
I think that's the question mark over Richmond. I think we expect them to be top six, don't we?
Yep.
But the top four is going to be a real challenge. It's a real test of them as a footy club.
Yep.
When you have these, you know, massive injury counts, injury tolls, it's a real test of them. I think they've been pretty good at answering that so far. A little bit of a hiccup at the start, and they have been a bit up and down, but they just don't lose two in a row too often. And I know this is a pretty formidable Geelong side, but I'm prepared to pick Richmond this week, and I'll be regretting this next Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll stay with Geelong, but I fully respect the Tigers and what they're able to do, particularly at the MCG. I just wonder whether the outs are going to start biting them a little bit through this difficult middle section of the season.
Saturday, Carlton v Brisbane. We saw North Melbourne's first game with its caretaker coach last week in Reece Shaw smash Richmond. Are we going to see a response from Carlton?
Yeah, I think you'll get a response, but it still comes back to how much quality and how much experience do you have? And, Quarters, I'll tell you a story. You remember the Fremantle debacle at Geelong last week, lost by 133 points, 23 unanswered goals, and we all thought the place was falling apart. And Ross Lyon, from time to time last year, had to front the board and had to give explanations as to what was going on and where they were at. And his simple explanation for that game was, look at our back six now and look at our back six 2 years ago, and this is a completely new back six. It is six out of six changes, and basically said, one, there's a lot of inexperience there, but two, there's a lot of players that haven't played together much. And if you go back and remember that game, they could not shift the ball from their back half past their midfield, and the ball just kept on coming back in and coming back in. And I think this is the situation that Carlton has got to. They're too young.
Well,
and they've been too young for too long.
If Carlton looks at that, they'll look at how Fremantle's back six is functioning now, which is pretty good. I mean, I think they've got statistically the third best defence in the competition after round 11. So if that'll give them some faith. I think we'll see a response. There's going to be a couple of great little contests in the matchup of contested beasts, Mackay and Harris, Andrew. But I think I'm going to pick Brisbane. I think they'll win by three or four goals. I think that's not unreasonable to expect that.
That's this is in Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah,
this
it's
game?
Marvel. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that gives Carlton an in. But Brisbane's got an enormous amount to play for, haven't they? Like, Brisbane is a chance to make the top four.
Yeah, and they need these to win these ones. They win most of their Gabba games, 90% of them.
Absolutely
these
have
are the
to
games
win these
they
games.
Have to win.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of the past six against Carlton at Marvel. So Carlton has got a good record against them at that venue.
Yep.
So, you know, there is an argument for picking the Blues here, not least the fact that they have a new coach. But who was their forwards coach, by the way? David Teague, and their forward line hasn't been functioning all that well.
It'll be interesting to see where Mackay structures up this week, because one of the things we've been critical of is that
no structure in that forward line.
Michael Gibbons has been used as the anchor forward, i.e. the deepest forward, and Mackay and Charlie Kerner have been sucked up the ground. So when they're going in long, they're going in long to someone who's hip high to us.
Well, it's a good opportunity to just get the structure. That's it. This is what you're doing. You are not to operate beyond these parameters. This is what you're doing. You know, I'm the new coach. This is how we're running it. That's hopefully we'll see a bit of that.
And I guess the other question is, given what's happened with Paddy Cripps in two of the last 3 weeks, with Matty DeBoer and then Dylan Clark last week, do the Lions say, well, let's just take out their gun mid? We'll put a tagger on him.
Well, you'd have to. I think
so. It's Mitch Robinson.
Yeah, but
Mitch Robinson goes to Paddy Cripps.
But I think if it's been successful, you have to follow that lead, don't you?
Yep.
Really. There are a couple of clubs who don't tag, but I think if you've seen him get antagonised, and we've spoken about this often, you know, I really feel for him. He's a terrific footballer, and he just looks like a player who's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he actually probably is, to be honest, when it comes to Carlton.
Carrying the weight of Lygon Street.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of food in Lygon Street.
There is. Ross had a nice lunch there the other day.
Fish and chip shop. Yeah. I did make the inquiry of Fremantle, sort of saying, well, you know, your coach has been spotted having lunch with Stephen Silvani.
Yep.
And the comment came back, what, in a fish and chip shop with 30 other people?
Yeah, look. We'll take Ross's word for it. Why wouldn't we? He is good mates with Steve Silvani. He was there for the Hall of Fame and catching up with family. So, yep, all of those things. It was just a curious choice of venue. A day after Bolton was sacked, let's have lunch in Lygon Street, which you don't get more Carlton than Lygon Street. It's like a Bruce Dool punch from Percy Jones' old pub. I mean, it's Carlton. If you define Carlton, it's Lygon Street. It's just a curious choice, I thought.
Yeah, I think we can, because coaches are so Machiavellian, I think we sometimes read
too much into stuff.
I think, you know, Stephen Silvani and Ross Lyon have a share in a pub together.
Yeah.
Which you and I have probably had a few beers at the Lord Newry.
Yeah.
Nice little corner pub. You put 20 people in there, it's full.
Yeah.
And they're mates, and they work together at St Kilda, and they work together at Carlton before St Kilda. They catch up pretty regularly.
And by the way, whenever I return to Melbourne, and I will be in a few weeks, it's one of the first places I go when I have lunch is Lygon Street. Because it's, I'm just trying to remember the pub. It's down the end of Lygon Street. It's a fantastic restaurant. It's got a little beer garden out the back. But
Not Purses,
but. No, not Purses. No. It's a restaurant, more of a restaurant. But anyway, it's somewhere I go. It's a really good destination, Lygon Street. So
you know where I go in Lygon Street? Where? No, I reckon everyone has a favourite place in Lygon Street. The Universita.
Oh, yeah.
Not the University and not the Universitool, because they are both, the Universal.
Yeah.
They are other establishments in Lygon Street because it's near the university, but it's called the Universita Cafe.
Dimatina's is a good spot there too.
Paul and Giancarlo. Giancarlo, the famous coffee brand. They're the owners. Giancarlo's a massive Carlton man. Paul's a massive Essendon man. You will often see Kevin Sheedy in there.
Mm.
And they do a pasta with chilli and mushrooms and olive oil, and you sprinkle parmesan over it, and it's the duck's nuts.
Have a listen to you.
Yeah.
My kitchen rules duff.
Very, very good food.
And the other great restaurant, while we're talking about Melbourne restaurants, is North Melbourne and Dom Camillo's, which I'm not sure if it's still open or not. But you go and have a pasta there, and you'll look across, and there'll be Wayne Carey. It's just
footygossip.com.
Oh, it's a fantastic venue.
Don Camillo's.
Yeah.
I think it's shifted now. So it used to be up near the markets.
Yeah.
I believe it's been relocated now, but all the football identities used to go there. And if you wanted to catch up on what the footy gossip was, you'd just slink in there and hide in a corner and put your best listening ears on. And see what you could hear.
I've heard a few good conversations in there. So we digress. We're both picking Brisbane.
We're picking Brisbane.
Gold Coast v North Melbourne at Metricon Stadium on Saturday. Gold Coast on a bit of a losing streak now. 1-5 from 11 against North. I think North, look, I'm prepared to say they've been good. Very good this year, Gold Coast. Better than we expected. They've been good, really good at home, so they are a good brand at home.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be a runaway victory. It'll be really interesting to see the brand North brings. Reece Shaw has said they will be a physical side now. We're going to go after opponents. So this will be a physical game, and they've got the brutes inside who can carry that out. Cunnington, Zeeble, Jed Anderson. So I think they'll win this by about 3 or 4 goals. I think it'll be a good arm wrestle, though. A couple of good matchups too. Witts, Goldstein. Goldstein, who's 30 and is after a new contract too, so expect a big second half of the year from him.
Well, when they beat, I think it was Brad Scott's last game 2 weeks ago, I thought Todd Goldstein played one of the great games of the season that day. So, and he was very good again last week. This one's going to be a knife-edge game, quarters, I reckon. Yep. And I'm almost tempted to tip Gold Coast. I reckon Gold Coast home games are going to be very big for them. In terms of, you know, convincing themselves as much as anything they're on the right track. They've been well set up. They are well coached, but they are young. They've been beaten up a little bit. They've copped a hammering the last time out. I think we'll see a very, very committed Gold Coast team for this game. But based on recent form, North won their last two. They're up and going. I'm going to tip North in a nail-biter.
Yeah, yep. So both going with North. Adelaide... The GWS at Adelaide Oval. I'm loathe to pick against Adelaide in Adelaide, but I'm going to pick GWS here. Won both their games at Adelaide Oval last year, GWS. Mm. So it's not a venue they don't like playing at. I think they're going absolutely beautifully. We could talk all day about the midfield. It's a really good, strong defence too, but that forward line, it's as good a forward line as going around at the moment. So too much power against an Adelaide side that showed a bit of resilience last week to just hang tough. I mean, they've...
And got a bit lucky.
Yeah, and got a bit lucky as well. I mean, you know, Wiedemann misses a shot in the dying seconds that would have won them the game. So would have won Melbourne the game. So I think I'm going to pick GWS to win this game.
No Lockie Whitfield.
Yeah.
So Lockie Whitfield.
Yeah, he's very important to them. Yeah.
If you're tipping at home, folks, Lockie Whitfield will miss a month with a broken collarbone. So
with Whitfield out, I think we've seen Bryce Gibbs play this new role last week. So he's come in as a sort of a tagger. I think in the second half he went to Oliver last week and curbed his influence. He was very good in the first half, Oliver. So could see him on Canelio this week.
Has to go to Canelio because he won't be able to run with Kelly.
Yeah.
That's the reality. You've got to pick the one you can get. So if Gibbs is going to tag, it has to be Canelio. And I really believe now Canelio is the premier mid.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
At GWS. And that's saying a bit, given how we rated. I had Josh Kelly in my top 10, in my top 50 at the start of the year. I think I had Canelio top 20.
Yep.
I reckon it may be the other way around now.
Geez, I'd have them both in my top 10, to be honest.
I'm going to tip. I think I'll go with GWS. I think I'm with you.
Can Talia play on Cameron Finlayson and Himmelberg?
So if I'm... them, I play Talia on Cameron.
Yeah.
And I dare the other two to bob up and kick a score.
Which they
will. And don't forget you got Alex Keith. So
yeah, of course. Yes.
I would try and snuff out.
You've got two of them. Two of them are going to have to earn every kick.
Yeah, I'd try and snuff out Cameron and Finlayson.
So Himmelberg kicks 5.
So Himmelberg is the one. You dare Himmelberg to hurt you.
One of them kicks 5 every week.
Yeah, and don't forget, Adelaide will have Kyle Hardigan to play on the third as well. Yep. So they're not too badly disposed when it comes to...
I think still one of them will kick 5. Because okay. One of them kicks 5 every week. They just raffle it around.
What's your margin?
Who are you picking?
I'm going to pick GWS.
I'm saying 16 points.
Yeah, I'm saying under 10.
Yep. On to Sunday, Sydney v West Coast Duff. Sydney, who've challenged Collingwood Geelong the last 2 weeks, who are starting to look a bit more like the Sydney we once knew. West Coast 5 games straight, no Hearn, which is going to be interesting to see how their structure. Mm. He's very, very important part of their structure, rebounding from the defensive 50. Who comes in, Rotham?
I would think Rotham.
Yeah.
Although Jackson Nelson was... the one they pulled out to bring in when they were last missing a defender. So it'll be Nelson or Rotham, but, yeah, one of those two.
And we love our stats. 1991, the last time they won at the SCG. West Coast.
So I covered this game last year. The West actually identified it as a big game, and they sent me on a Friday night. And I think from memory it was one of those rare times when West Coast and Fremantle both played away on the same weekend. So we had Shane Hope covering Fremantle's game in Melbourne, which was against Carlton on the Saturday. And I covered West Coast v Sydney. West Coast got beaten, but they almost kicked themselves out of it. So I give them a huge sniff. In fact, I'm going to tip them.
Well, I'm tipping West Coast. I think they'll break that drought at that venue. Mm. They're going along beautifully. As I said, they've won five straight and really, I guess we put it in the same box as you assume they win 95% of their home games. And they got to, but this is the sort of game they have to win if they really want that top four position, if not top two.
Yep.
I've got faith in them that they'll be able to do that. So I'm going to tip West Coast. I think they win this by about three goals.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. But I do remember last year, had they kicked straight, they nearly would have pinched it. And I think the Sydney team they were playing last year is a better team than the one they'll face this year.
So Hewitt and Clark, we will get Gaff and Shuey.
Yeah.
Do you disagree with that?
I'd probably Hewitt to Shuey and Clark to Gaff. That's the way I would go.
And then, of course, we look at the defence, JK. Geez, the nicknames at West Coast always amuse me.
It's all JK, JD.
Josh Kennedy, Jack Darling, Alir, Rampy, McCartan. They have options back there, so that'll be interesting. And of course, Sydney is a different shaped ground, so you're not necessarily going to front up and reproduce what you've been, your form. But I think West Coast win this one.
The challenge for Sydney is going to be Kennedy, isn't it? Because probably Rampy's probably a pretty good matchup for Jack Darling, which means that you've still got a dual Coleman medalist lurking out there in the ether somewhere without an ideal matchup.
And what lurks with Rampy this week, Duff? What will be his bag of tricks in the last quarter?
I've mentioned the ether. It could be something in the twilight zone, the way Rampy's carrying on at the moment.
So he's encroached on the mark. He's shaken a goalpost. What will it be this year?
Climbed a goalpost, abused an umpire.
Yeah.
He's working through the resume.
There'll be something. Okay, so we're both going for West Coast?
Yep.
And the final game, the Monday game, Collingwood v Melbourne. Lost this one by 42 points last year, Melbourne. I don't think Collingwood will lose two in a row. I'm going to pick Collingwood here. Interesting, a little bit of a byplay this week too with the coach, Nathan Buckley and Mick Malthouse.
So it was a very... Look, my take on this is it was a very strange handover. And I think when you have strange... Yeah. Method, you get strange
what
outcomes.
What to believe. Nathan saying there was no problem. Mick saying he wouldn't let me near any of the assistant coaches. I just think whatever you believe, I'm not sure if the timing was great after the Hall of Fame. But, and the other thing I'll say is I'm a fan of Nathan Buckley. I think he's great for us. I think he's great for the game. I enjoy the way he coaches and interacts with the media. I didn't like it this morning when he came out and said, my quotes were taken out of context. It's all the media's fault. This kerfuffle over the day after.
Well,
the
he used a timing. Bad word, didn't he?
Timing, Nathan.
He used enemy.
Yeah, exactly. And timing too. I just think timing was not great.
Enemy's not a great word. I mean, well, this is footy, not war. I don't think the handover, the Kirribilli agreement, as what came to be known.
Well, it was a Kirribilli agreement.
In footy circles, it wasn't a great idea. I don't think it was particularly fair on Mick Malthouse. I mean, Mick Malthouse gets him into a grand final in 2011.
Yeah.
After winning a premiership in 2010, and in 2012 he's unemployed. It's a pretty strange...
I think that's fair.
It's a pretty strange set of circumstances.
He was still coaching very well at that point. One matchup in particular, Grundy v Gawn. Grundy now ranked number one in the comp. Who is the number one in the comp? Could be Gawn at the moment. They're both formidable players, very good ruckman.
What I'll be interested to see, Quarters, is the response of the Collingwood midfield after getting monstered by Fremantle's midfield last week. I think there was a portion of that game where ground ball ran at something like high 70s for Fremantle, high 40s for Collingwood. When you're nearly minus 30 in ground ball in the area that is supposed to be your strength, you ain't winning the game. And they nearly pinched it anyway, but I think their midfield has been in cruise mode for about a month now. I think it's time to find the next gear.
So turn off the snooze alarm.
Turn off the snooze
as
alarm.
As West Coast had to earlier in the year.
Wake up, get going.
Yeah, and this is the mid-season. You know, it's hard this time of year. This is when you can really lose that top four. You've just got to find a way, and that's what they have to do. Wiedemann's the other good story. I mean, obviously missed the opportunity to put himself into immortality last week, as you do when you decide a game within the last 30 seconds. Mickey Walter's done it twice the last fortnight. But his dad and his granddad both played for the Pies.
Yes,
and now he's
great.
On the other side of the ledger, playing in a big Monday game. So he'll I'm just tipping, expect something from him. And I know he's had a poor run this year, but I'm a fan.
Yep.
And just expect something from him on Monday. I'm tipping the Pies by about 22 points.
And, of course, his father was Mark, was it? Mark Wiedemann, I think.
Murray
was the granddad.
Yeah, Murray was the granddad. Father was Mark.
And Murray was one of the great enforcers of the 1950s.
Yeah, I think there was some famous grand final. Was it the Stop the Run of Melbourne flags? Might have been.
1958.
Yeah, might have been, yeah. And that was the last one they won before, 1990.
Might have been a bit of donging.
Well, there was, and I think Melbourne was the red-hot favourites, and he came on, and they were a bit beaten up by the end of the game and lost. There was a hue and cry in Melbourne. So the Melbourne club were absolutely appalled.
The cognac.
They had to get the 1940 tawny poured out. It's just not football.
Okay, so we're both on the Pies.
Yeah.
Are we tipping the Pies comfortably?
Oh, about 22 points. I don't think it'll be that. It won't be a runaway, but it'll be a reasonably comfortable.
Okay, and the poor old D's, it'll just...
Put the Q in the rat.
It is, of course, also Queen's birthday. It is the big freeze.
Against
motor neuron disease.
We should mention that. Neil Danaher, and what a great job he's doing in the face of adversity, really furthering that cause, generating a lot of... income, a lot of money, a lot of donations into research for this disease. So,
and there are already, and this is, if you're wondering where the money goes, if you're thinking about making a donation to MND, there are already research projects up and going because of the money that the Neil Danaher fight, the fight MND and the big freeze, the money that has generated. So please give generously. It's a great cause. Neil Danaher, probably the most inspirational man in the AFL over the last 3 or 4 years, given what he's had to deal with and the way he's dealt with it and taken himself and the cause against his disease.
The way footy does this well too, it embraces causes.
Yep.
And I love the way he's been nominating his celebrities-commentators to go down the slide. You might get a nomination one day, Duff. You never know. Someone from over here.
Well, then my time at Esperance in summer will serve me well,
yes,
Quarters.
What would be your costume, Duff?
Something with good insulation. When?
I'm tipping it might be purple.
Well, I'll be purple by the time I get out. It's bloody 0 degrees, that ice water.
So. No, good on them. And that takes place just before the game, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, yeah, look, it'll be fantastic. And hopefully they raise a bit more money and take another step on the way to finding a cure for this.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Good luck tipping some winners this week. Hopefully your team goes very well and starts to climb the ladder also. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch. We'll be back on Tuesday to dissect the implications and ramifications of another gripping AFL round, and we'll talk to you then.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.